You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
It is Monday, so of course we are going to talk some basketball. Not necessarily the NBA. The Olympics have now hit full swing. I know that a lot of people in the state of Utah have also taken interest to the 3-on-3 Olympic competition, which debuted in 2021. Why? Because Jimmer Fredette is back in action. Maybe we can get into that in a little bit. Right now, there are bigger fish to fry, like the idea of Jason Tatum not playing in the USA's game against Serbia just yesterday. So we'll talk about that and more. Joining us right now over the phone to do just that, we have James Holis. He is our NBA analyst here on Drive Time Sports. And I know James is ready to cook today because, you were not happy with Jason Tatum not getting any minutes.
All of this is a psyop between the Jaylen Brown snub, and then they bring in his teammate to drive a wedge and Derek White, Drew Holiday having to pick up all the grunt minutes and do the hard work, and now Tatum's being benched. This is all to destroy the Boston Celtics from the inside out.
Do you really believe that?
I'm saying it tongue-in-cheek, mostly. But let's be real. Look, you remember that Kemba Walker that played too much in the All-Star game got injured?
Yep.
By another coach?
Yep.
This is Steve Kerr. And, I do. We know that Jaylen Brown has been quite vocal about certain things. And he's a shoe-free agent. He's wearing Nike without the swoosh. I'm not saying I believe it. I don't think it's a complete conspiracy, though. I think it might, even if it plays a 2% chance into it, it plays a chance. So, I don't believe it's a psyop. I don't like the optics of what's going on this summer. Jason Tatum, I think, was the only first team All NBAer on the Dream Team. I heard somebody say that. I think that was Tim Legler said that on TV.
Yeah.
And led his team, points, assists, rebounds, and won the finals, and he gets benched. While guys like Derek White and Drew Holiday play a combined 40 minutes, it's not a great thing.
Well, I would say this: if anyone thinks that politics in sports stop by the time you get out of high school, I'm going to tell you no, that's not the case. Right? Politics are alive in sports from the very little youth age all the way up to professional basketball. So I would say if you're a Boston Celtic fan and you are disgruntled over what's happening right now, I would say that I think there is some truth to the idea of Steve Kerr and the coaching staff in general. Not necessarily punishing, but again, as you said, trying to maybe send a message. It's not the first time we've seen this. Remember what Isaiah Thomas, wasn't Isaiah Thomas head coach of the Eastern Conference All-Star team, and he didn't want to play Paul Pierce in the second half or something stupid like that? Didn't that happen once?
I mean, look, no matter what, all these players, accolades and stuff, certain coaches also have egos, and there's certain amount of... Look, Kerr himself said it, and he said it numerous times now. We saw it with Jonathan Kuminga last year. Oh, I don't know why, and I was an idiot. Maybe when people tell you what they are, you should believe them, because he said I was an idiot for not playing Jason Tatum. He's playing Embiid too much. Blame to go around. Blame fine, because then Grant Hill, if you're telling me, like Steve Kerr said, there's no way to play more than 10 guys, then you should not bring 12 premier NBA guys. Bring 8 or 9 of those guys, and then bring 3 or 4 grinders, right? More Drew Holiday types, more Derek White types. I don't know. Maybe a guy like, not Draymond, but yeah, like a Draymond-level guy, right? A really good 1 or 2-time All-Star maybe who's known for defense and rebounding and doesn't need a lot of minutes. Bring 3 or 4 of those guys, and don't bring Jason Tatum to sit on the bench.
I'm going to say, for the love of God, please do not put Draymond Green back on this team. Just looking at what they did accomplish, though, James, they did get the win. And I think that Jason Tatum, I think he's a professional, and I don't think that this is going to be a problem for him. I think you look at the end result. The fact of the matter is they get a double-digit win over Serbia. Kevin Durant is now back for the very first time, and that does throw a wrench into things. I think the really telling game is going to be against South Sudan, which is coming up on Wednesday. To me, that's kind of the telling game when you look at this squad and what the rotation is going to be moving forward.
I hope you're right. And this guy's been in the league for six, seven years. He has just signed the biggest contract in NBA history. He is, some people are saying that he is going to be, the best American-born player in the league soon when, LeBron, one of the best, right? We know international players have been great. But, there's a certain level of ego involved. So I hope you're right. I hope that moving forward, you know, he gets minutes and it's all just a bump in the road and whatever plagued the U.S. against South Sudan last time, they can kind of fix those and they have a nice run to the gold. That'd be nice. And I think that it's a non-story then, right? But, yeah, any hiccups, any more stuff like this, it's definitely going to be an issue. Things can go one of two ways here from here on out. This might just be a footnote in history, or it might be a sign of something bigger.
Now with Kevin Durant back into the equation, it does change things a little bit. He was great in this one against Serbia. 16 minutes, goes 8 of 9 from the field, which is what I'm paying attention to, right? 5 of 5 from deep. I think if you just take a look at the scoring aspect in general, 23 points from KD off the bench, that's kind of what we expected. The two guys that did not get any run would be Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton. But you did mention Joel Embiid, and he had a short leash in this game. And Steve Kerr elects to pull Embiid early. Anthony Davis comes in, Bam comes in, and both of those guys were highly effective in this game as well. So, I mean, outside of Jason Tatum, I don't think there's a lot to be upset about as far as the rotation is concerned.
I think Kevin Durant and LeBron James make sure that the Tatum story is even lesser than it actually is because they were so spectacular. Kevin Durant proves why he is currently probably one of the three or four best just pure talented basketball players walking the planet right now. He's incredible, man. And then LeBron, ageless one, does his thing. A lot of turnovers, too. We don't need to talk about that because Boston won, U.S. won handily. But, yeah, man, and we talk about politics. Embiid, you know, by all accounts, like he's probably kind of promised, hey, you're going to start, you're going to play big minutes. We need you, you know, we want to bring home this gold. And it's happening, even though we see that he's probably much more effective in a lesser role and off the bench, he'd probably be amazing. Maybe Kerr makes the hard decisions. Maybe they all sit down and make hard decisions moving forward. But, yeah, Embiid's just not moving great. Great against a guy, I guess, like Jokic. But otherwise, he's looking limited. And we talk about this all the time. He doesn't look healthy. And this is the off season. You know, how's it going to go next season? So, another side story.
Yeah, for sure. Plus minus does stand out to me a lot, I think, when we look at feeble play, just because of the style of it. So I'm always paying attention to that. Anthony Davis in 19 minutes had a plus minus of 28, while Joel Embiid, I think he was minus 8, right? So, again, I mean, we don't need to sit here and kick a dead horse again and again and again and again. We don't have to beat this dead horse. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to pull someone's minutes completely, give the 11 Joel Embiid minutes, toss those to Jason Tatum. There you go.
So easy, man. And I'm Kerr, you know, I've kind of soured on him the last couple of years. They won the championship, but they've been a subpar team otherwise since Kevin Durant left. And, you know, it's not looking good.
South Sudan coming up tomorrow. You concerned about this game at all? Last time we saw it, nearly had the biggest upset in international play history. They were 43-point underdogs. James, I'm going to answer my own question before I kick it to you. I think what we saw against Serbia is a sign of things to come. I think that this team is now going to roll. That's what I expected them to do going into it. I would expect them to grab a 20-plus point win when they take on South Sudan on Wednesday.
I want to say that, but they also beat Serbia by almost 30. A few games ago, and then they, you know, then the South Sudan and the Germany games were really close. So this is like a trick or treat Team USA. We're not sure quite what to expect. The starters have come out slow in almost every single game, and I think a lot of that goes to what we were talking about in B starting, and just a lack of pop, a lack of real direction. They're not getting up enough threes. I mean, you talked about that before. So maybe this was the wake up call. Now that the games all really matter and count, we see a different side of the Team USA, fingers crossed. It should be an easy 20-plus point win. It should be. We'll see.
Kind of felt the same way about the women's national team. They had their problems with Japan. They waxed the floor with Germany the last time out. I know that they lost to the WNBA All-Star team, which was fantastic all the way around. Do you have any interest in this women's national team? Are you following it at all?
I follow it as much as I follow all the U.S. Sports because, USA, USA, it's time for the Olympics. But I don't really, I take pride in it and I will watch them when they're on, but I haven't been following a lot of the sidelines and the storylines, so I'm not really sure.
You know what, I can't really get into much of the Olympics. I really can't. I mean, I said this on the show last week. Everybody in the state of Utah just thrilled about the Winter Olympics coming. And there are certain events that I really get into. But as far as following all the events, I mean, I really have to be captivated by an athlete to follow something like swimming or to follow. You know, there are sports out there. I use the term sports very loosely. I have no care to watch equestrian. LeBron James could be an equestrian. I'm not going to watch. Women's basketball, men's basketball, yes, it's at the top. I'm going to watch this at all angles, at all costs. I even feel this way about the 3-on-3, James. I really do. I don't know if you caught this back in 2021. I don't know if you're intrigued by this going into this Olympic or not, but the 3-on-3 is somewhat entertaining to me.
Because we love basketball. So if I see it on, I'll definitely watch. You know, like you said, Jimmy Fredette is a big name there. Our guy Chase Buttinger, right? Chase Buttinger is also playing volleyball. And it shows you the level. These can be high-level athletes, but the NBA is a whole different animal. Jimmer Fredette, you know, just couldn't hack it. And I think Chase was more injuries. He was okay. But, yeah, volleyball, too, is another one like those. Like, if I see it on, I'll watch it because it's a very dynamic, very high, you know, high-energy, back-and-forth kind of sport that you can get into. So, especially 3-on-3. We all played 3-on-3. We played it. And so to see it in the Olympics is kind of amazing.
No, it really is. And for Jimmer Fredette, this game is right up his alley, right? I mean, if you go back and you kind of dissect the way Jimmer played in the NBA, the guy was shooting 35, 40 feet in college before we legitimately saw, right? He'd pull up from 35 feet like it was nothing. I think now you take a look at where the game is today, maybe Jimmer's career plays out a little bit differently if he comes out in 2018 instead of when he did, I think it was like, 2012, if I'm not mistaken. But the fact is, this guy couldn't play defense, right? So 3-on-3 seems to be right up his alley.
Absolutely, where, you know, these are probably smaller players and not quite the high level he's used to as far as the NBA. But I don't think his career would have been much different because, like, it's one thing to play a certain style, and we know that Steph Curry has really popularized it and made things, you know, the three-pointer has been really emphasized. But when you're that small and you just have that many inefficiencies, like he wasn't a great passer, just so bad on defense. And it just didn't, against NBA defenders and size, that he wasn't getting that shot off as cleanly. So, I'm wearing the red, white, and blue. I'm pulling for Jimmer.
Oh, I'm pulling for Jimmer too. And you know, here in the state, you don't even have to be a Utah. I know there's Utah, BYU, whatever. I don't care anything about that. But I do look at this 3-on-3 roster. So they got four guys. And you tell me if you've heard of any of these other guys on this team. You got Cannon Berry. I have no idea who that is. He's from Colorado Springs. I spent a lot of time there, but I have no idea who Canyon Berry is. Do you?
No, sir.
Okay. Kareem Maddox. Do you know who this is?
That's not like a created name from a video game. Nope.
Dylan Travis.
Ooh, that no, absolutely. Sounds like a video game. Yep, that sounds like a video game protagonist in like a shoot 'em up game.
They are the generic when you bring in the next draft class without downloading the draft class in 2K. That's what it is.
Game starts making up names. Yep, Dylan Travis. Yeah, that's them.
You mix those guys with Jimmer Fredette. I'm watching though. I've got to watch this.
I, you know what? I'm going to do my research now and tune in so I have a little backstory on these guys. Absolutely.
James, before I let you go, if we take a look at what's happening in the NBA, I know things have kind of slowed a little bit. There are still some names out there, though. Has anything caught your eye in the NBA, or are you pretty much just paying attention to what's happening right now as far as Team USA?
Just how some of those mid-level guys, or even they would have made, you know, in some years they would have got $15 to $20 million, like Caleb Martin and even Gary Trent Jr., They misread the market because teams are kind of in a holding pattern with their money, with the second apron looming and the money about to explode with the new TV contract. I think they kind of misread the market and they swung them. But that's actually good, right? Because that's how a team like Philly gets Caleb Martin, a team like Milwaukee gets Gary Trent Jr., and we might, you know, they might do some things this year. So just how teams are being very cautious right now, and guys who would at one point maybe pulled in a few, maybe 10, 20 million just aren't getting their money.
Yeah, for me, the stories to keep an eye on still as we get set to move into the month of August, there are two names in particular. Is Lauri Markkanen still going to be on the trade market? And I believe he is. I don't know that the Jazz move him, but I still believe he's out there on the market. And Jeremy Grant is another one. What is Portland going to do with him? So those are two names, James, that have me interested in the NBA offseason. And those are the two names that I believe make it to where movement's not done just yet.
And throw in a guy like Brandon Ingram, and yeah, these are guys that Lauri Markkanen especially, right? I think August 6th is when he has to sign that to be tradable. And if he doesn't sign his extension by August 6th, and he signs it afterwards, he basically has a no-trade clause this year. He can't be traded. Brandon Ingram wants a big deal. We just talked about how the market's kind of dried up for, you know, that's Brandon Ingram is in a weird in-between space. And a guy like Jeremy Grant is a good scorer, a good tertiary scorer, but not really worth that contract to a really good team. So what's going to happen with him? So, there's still moves to be made and pieces. Let's talk again. Hey, New Orleans needs a center. They don't have a center. New York probably needs a center because Mitchell Robinson's always hurt, and they just lost their starting center. So there's names out there. Ayton,
mm-hmm.
Robert Williams in Portland. There are centers to be had, but like we talked about, the money's kind of dried up. So this will be an interesting last few months of offseason.
Again, he's James Holis, joins us every week to talk some basketball. Team USA Wednesday, they'll return to the court against South Sudan. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the week. James, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I'm always open for a little Steve Kerr criticism, always.
Yeah, just not a he's really soured. The whole Klay Thompson situation and the way he handled Kuminga and Moody last year and now this, the clock is ticking on Kerr for me.
I agree 100%. James, always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time.
My man, enjoy your summer.
Well, we'll definitely try. That's James Holis again, taking out the time to join us. And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Travis is going to join us back in the studio. We'll catch up with Vinny Rondinelli over the phone to talk some NFL football. And Travis and I will continue to cover the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Looking forward to it. We'll see you then. Be safe. We are out.